Thank you, listener. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for thinking outside the box, for listening to the outsider, and for being yourself. Without you, we'd just be shouting into the void. So once again, thanks for listening to CJSF.
This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Belanger. After years of campaigning by the labor movement, there has been a major breakthrough in the fight to get multinational corporations to provide greater transparency in how they pay taxes. The problem has been that corporations have been shifting their profits from one country to another so they can pay less taxes, something ordinary workers cannot do. The Australian government has tabled draft legislation to publicly report where the corporations pay taxes and therefore where they are evading taxes. The Global Union, which has been at the forefront of the worldwide campaign to get corporations to report their taxes in a more transparent way, is Public Services International. The PSI represents more than 30 million unionized public sector workers in 154 countries. I talked to Daniel Bertosa about the Australian corporate tax draft legislation. Mr. Bertosa is the PSI's Assistant General Secretary. I asked him about the legislation and why it is important.
Mark, this is corporate transparency information that all workers should be happy about. And the legislation requires companies to publicly report the tax information in each country where they operate. And this is important because companies use tax havens and a number of accounting tricks to move profits that they make in a country where they don't want to pay tax overseas into other tax havens. And increasingly, the tax office wants to know not just what profit is being made by a large multinational in their own country, but if they have artificially reduced those profits by moving those profits to another country to avoid tax. And the OECD has implemented some standards around this, but these standards are not very good. They're flawed in some important technical ways because they don't require all the information. And this was because the global corporate lobby pushed back very hard on the OECD when they were setting these standards. But the second thing the OECD standards don't do is that they don't publish them. The OECD keeps this information secret so the public don't know. And this is very important because depending on the government that you have in your country, the tax office sometimes is not always as rigorous as it should be in pursuing large corporations for their tax affairs. And sometimes the tax office can even facilitate agreements that allow these large corporations to lower their taxes. And this is for a range of reasons. Sometimes it's because the government is ideologically in favor of that. At other times, these corporations are just so huge that they can outlawyer them. And what that creates is a situation where workers get prosecuted for very small errors on their tax payments. Welfare recipients, as we all know, often get harassed because of overpayments to them or the perception that they are cheating. Yet massive multinational companies who are dodging millions and hundreds of millions and sometimes billions of taxes, they can do a deal with the tax office. So it's very important that this information is public so that workers know who's dodging tax and how that's happening. There has been some movement. The European Union implemented a form of public reporting, but it made a lot of exceptions and it didn't require this information to be provided for all the countries in which a corporation is operating. So it's not very useful. What's really powerful about what the Australian government has done is that it's used a very good technical standard. It's proposing to use the Global Reporting Initiative standards or standards based on that. And this is a voluntary corporate accountability standard. And it's very robust. And it is also public, but it's a voluntary code. And PSI was involved and other trade unions were involved in setting the standard. So we've got confidence in it. But the problem with that standard is that it is a voluntary standard, and it means that the worst tax dodgers, of course, won't use it. So the Australian government proposed legislation is very important for a couple of reasons. One, because it is a technically robust standard that workers can have a lot of confidence in, and two, They're making it public. And this is really groundbreaking because it's the first time that any government in the world will make this information public so that everybody can see who is dodging their taxes.
Do you think the Australian initiative will be copied by other countries?
Well, PSI and trade unions have been fighting a long time for this. And we know the OECD won't be happy because it will show that their standards have not been adequate and that they have weakened their standards and succumbed to corporate lobbying. And certainly many large corporations won't be happy and they will be pushing back, although not all. There's some media coverage in the US, for example, that says that many of the corporations don't have this development, but they accept it as inevitable. And the reason for this is that it will give insight into a company's operations, not only in Australia, but anywhere else that that company is doing business. So if you've got a company that's doing business in Australia, but is a multinational company, that company will have to publish its information in all of the other countries that it is doing business. And many countries will be very interested in seeing this information. And what it will do is it will make it easier for those countries to introduce similar legislation. Because up until now, the technical solutions have been available, but many governments in many countries have been worried about the reaction if they were to introduce such legislation. And so the Australian government, being a first mover here, has opened this information up so that other countries can follow suit without fearing this corporate backlash. So in short, it sets a very powerful precedent and we'll be campaigning for other countries to follow suit. And we hope that it becomes a global standard. And what I think everybody needs to remember here is this is simply about transparency. If these companies have nothing to hide, then they won't mind showing people what they're doing around the world.
What has been the role of unions and especially the PSI in getting the draft legislation tabled in the first place?
Well, this is a major union victory, and it's taken many, many years to achieve. PSI pushed for this policy in its 2017 Congress, and we've been promoting it with unions and our affiliates now for many, many years. We worked with the Global Reporting Initiative and its standard-setting body to establish this standard, along with civil society and also some businesses that were very supportive of it. And we created a technically robust standard. We also worked with investors and all, particularly union pension funds, along with other trade unions who have trustees on the boards of these pension funds, to get investors to support this initiative as well. And at the peak of that, we got $13 trillion US dollars of investor support for this. And the reason why investors are interested in this sort of transparency is prior to investing in a company, they want to know if the profits are real or if the profits that are appearing in the corporate accounts are just financial tricks. So the unions have worked with their pension fund trustees to get investor support for this standard. But as I said, that standard was just a voluntary code. And so only the good or the very committed corporations follow that, and most didn't, and most of the worst players didn't. So what we really needed was a country to be a first mover. And the Australian unions have really shown the way here and played an important role. The unions and it wasn't something that happened just recently. The Australian unions have been very important in the most recent efforts. But the Australian unions decided 5 or 8 years ago that they really needed to change the debate on tax in Australia, and they needed to prioritise tax as a workers' issue. And this was essential to this success. And in Australia 10 years ago, it was very hard to talk to workers about tax or for unions to talk about tax in the media. A lot of people felt that tax should be lower and that lower taxes meant more jobs. But the unions made two really important jumps. The first is they understood and they took the time to understand that the things that workers most want and the things that unions most want need revenue, whether that's quality schools or public health care or childcare to increase participation in the workforce, especially for women, whether it's public housing or infrastructure, all of these things need revenue. Even the just transition and fighting climate change will need funds. And if the rich and the corporations don't pay their fair share, then it's workers that will pay. So the things that workers want require tax. Tax is a facilitator of many of these things that unions are fighting for. And if we don't have fair taxation, then workers will pay more than they should, and the rich and corporations will pay less. Now, the second jump that the unions in Australia made is that they realised and decided that it was important that everyone understood that stopping corporate tax abuse creates jobs and lifts wages. And this is counterintuitive in some ways, and corporations spend a lot of time trying to create misinformation around this and promote myths. But when a company shifts its profits offshore and overseas to a tax haven to avoid taxes, it leaves those profits there. And so the workers in that company, when they go to try and bargain collectively for a wage increase, the company can show them the consolidated accounts and say, look, we haven't made any profits here. Now, it's artificial. They haven't made any profits because they've shifted the profits to a tax haven to avoid tax. But it's also very helpful to say to the workers, look, we'd like to give you a bigger pay increase, but we can't because we don't have any profits here. And look, the tax office can't find our profits. And so what hope do the trade unions have in finding where that money has gone? And it also affects investment. Corporations who retain those profits onshore use that money to invest in productive capacity, expand and create jobs. So stopping corporations from shifting their profits to avoid taxes actually increases the money available for wage bargaining and increases investment in jobs. And when the Australian unions began educating their members about this, focusing on the injustice and the effects of tax dodging, they found they got a lot of support and they were able to lobby the government and the opposition, and they made an inequality that really resonated with most Australian workers. And ultimately, the government that was elected, the Labor government that has been elected, that's introduced this change, campaigned on this and found that it was an election plus. And it was unions that shifted that debate in Australia. And importantly, and very practically, one of the ways that they did this was to focus on case studies to show the way in which individual corporations were dodging their taxes and what those losses to the Australian government could actually achieve. And Public Services International has created a research capacity to assist unions to do this. It's called SICTAR, the Centre for International Corporate Tax Accountability and Research. And this research centre, SICTAR, has been helping Australian unions to run these campaigns and educate their members and do media work. And because SICTAR is a resource for unions and civil society to get the technical analysis they need, but with union values and with a union campaigning framework, so that we can show in really simple and accessible ways to workers where all this money is going and how we can get it back. And this has really changed the debate in Australia. And I think the win that we've got recently is really a testament to 5 or 6 years of work by the Australian union movement to change the public debate, to educate their members, and to show people the injustice. And when they've done that, people have got very angry, and we've seen this quite significant change with global implications come about.
Well, you mentioned global implications. Tell us, what can unions in other countries do to get their governments to adopt legislation about corporations and taxes?
Well, tax policy is actually much more about power than it is about the technical aspects. I think most workers know there's a lot of money out there. There's incredible wealth in our world at the moment, but it's not distributed fairly or equally. And workers are suffering at the moment. We've seen very low wages, increasing inflation and real wages going backwards. We've seen the cost of living going up. And workers want to know where that money is, who has it, and how they've managed to hide it. And so what this legislation does is it shows who has that money and the tricks that they use. And workers and the public, I think, will be very interested to know that. It's important for unions, if they're going to do this work, is that they inform themselves about why tax matters to workers. And Public Services International, PSI, can help with this. We have a series of briefs on why tax matters to workers, and this is essential reading for any trade union who wants to campaign on tax policy in general, or this legislation in particular. And what unites all of this, the thread that runs all through all of this, is the injustice and the inequality. But thirdly, and I think this is the real lesson from the Australian work, is that unions must campaign with their members and in the media about tax policy. And this is where SICTAR comes in, because tax can be technical, and unions don't always have trusted advisors to provide them with technical advice that they can be confident in with their campaigns. And this is for some very good reasons. Corporations often use these technical details to shut down debate. And so SICTAR can provide unions with the analysis they need for their campaigns. And the second important point about union campaigning is that we need to be campaigning not just about tax, we need to be campaigning about the issues that are important to workers, and for most unions, campaigning about issues that are important to their members. And so SICTAR and PSI can help unions find the tax-related issues that are stopping governments or unions achieving what they need for their members. And so there's some interesting examples that in Australia, but also that we've run in other parts of the world. For example, we've worked with nurses and nurses' unions to show how aged care companies have been dodging their taxes and crying poor and under-investing in quality care for old people, driving down training and wages and conditions for nurses and aged care workers, but dodging their taxes at the same time. And people are angry about this. We've done some studies that show that there are companies that are taking outsourced government contracts, but they've also been dodging their taxes. And so the public service unions, who are fighting against outsourcing and privatisations, were able to use this anger to both show to their members why tax dodging is relevant to their working lives, but also to show to the public why they shouldn't be outsourcing government contracts to corporations who then shift that money offshore. We've also done some studies around big tech firms, and people will know these are household names, Amazon, and Google, and Netflix. These firms have made massive profits during COVID and are some of the biggest corporations in the world, but they're dodging their taxes at the same time, and people are angry about that. And privatised healthcare is the same. We see companies taking government money, making massive profits in the provision of private healthcare, and they're not even paying that money back in taxes in the countries where they've got the contracts because they're shifting the profits overseas and dodging their taxes. All of this makes workers angry, and all of this can be done in any country because, frankly, these are the tactics that that these multinational corporations use. It's the reason why they've become so big. And then the last point is that point about wages and collective bargaining. We've been working with private sector unions, both SICTAR and PSI, to assist private sector unions to understand why the companies that are paying massive dividends and that are paying massive bonuses to their executives always seem to have loads of money for the things they want, but never any money to pay workers' wages and conditions. And we've been working with those unions to find the money, follow the money, and show why tax dodging practices are driving down wages in these corporations, and campaigning around those issues as well. The great advantage unions have in all of this is that we can have wins for members and we can argue for better tax policy at the same time. It really is a win-win. Everybody in the community wins, and really the only losers are tax dodgers and tax haters, and that's not such a bad thing.
Did you know the Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group, aka SFPERG, has been leading social and environmental activism on campus for 40 years? SFPERG is student activism, by students, for students. Do you have a vision for a brighter future? Are you passionate about changing the world? Visit us at www.sfpirc.ca. That's www.sfpirc.ca to learn more about getting involved today.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Hundreds of thousands of Haitian children suffer from acute malnutrition. It's a long-standing crisis driven by poverty, civil unrest, and weather disasters made worse by global warming.
As a pediatrician, I felt like if I could do something, I should do something.
20 years ago, Dr. Patricia Wolf started Meds and Food for Kids. The nonprofit makes vitamin-fortified peanut paste used to treat malnutrition. For the past decade, the work's been based at a small factory in northern Haiti. It employs local residents and uses ingredients grown by Haitian farmers. But grid electricity does not reach the factory, so it's long been powered by diesel generators. And in the past, fuel supply shortages have forced production to slow or stop. But no longer. The factory recently installed solar panels and battery storage that will supply most of the energy the factory needs. Jeff Klopfenstein, president of the board of Meds and Food for Kids, managed the project.
By producing electricity from the solar power, which is abundantly available in Haiti, we can run our factory more reliably and efficiently. That means we can treat more kids and save more lives in Haiti.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
Howdy. CJSF 90.1 FM here. Thank you for being here with us. We appreciate you tuning in to our section of the dial. Broadcasting to the Lower Mainland, we are diverse, independent, and yours, and extremely grateful that you've chosen to be here with us. Thank you once more for tuning in to CJSF. Speak my mind.